Well, Happy New Year, Bethany. I'm glad that you're here today. What you just witnessed is what we call cardboard testimonies that take place at all of our rooted experiences. So whether you saw some folks here at Washington or at Vincennes or our Princeton campus, people go through our rooted experiences, which help them understand what it is to be a fully committed follower of Jesus. And it gives them the tools to take what they've learned there and to create a routine of discipline that will lead them and continue in growth for in Christ Jesus. And maybe that's something you want to get into. Maybe that's something you've never done before. Our rooted experiences happen periodically throughout the year. I encourage you when they come to get involved in one. But I'm thankful that you're here today. Maybe this is your first time with us. Happy 2024. And we're glad that you're here. It's not easy walking into a church for the very first time. We call today Victory Sunday. We call it that because we get to look forward to what God is going to do in us and through us. And over 2023, we got to see some great things happen in the lives of others. And maybe you were a firsthand witness to that. And every Sunday, it's so amazing what we get to see here. As God works in people and through people, we get to see people recognize their sin for the very first time and recognize they have broken relationships, but they've broken the relationship with God, and so they want to repair that. And so they repent of their sin and say, I don't want to go back to my old way of life. I don't want to go back to sinning anymore. And then we get to see them receive Jesus. And they receive grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they're set free as they're lowered into that baptistry and immersed into Christ and risen to walk a new life. And we've get to watch firsthand and be witnesses to people who are finding faith for the first time, who are living free for the first time, finding purpose for the first time, who are becoming difference makers and recognizing that God has called them to something more for the very first time. Friends, at Bethany just last year, we got to watch over 144 people come to know who Jesus is in a powerful way through baptism. And I think that's pretty special. Yeah. You know, I'm one of those guys that don't want to like dance in the end zone. And so I don't see things as touchdowns. I see things as first downs. And so there is so much more that God has in store for us as we continue to minister on his behalf. And we watch people take their ashes to the Lord and watch God turn them into beauty. And I think the great thing about it is that every single week you get to witness others come to know God. But my question to you is, what has God been doing through you this last year? Or what do you anticipate him to do in you this year? Like, it's totally one thing to watch others come to know the Lord, find freedom and purpose and become difference makers and be set free from their sins. But what has God done through your life? You see, it's easy to sit back and say, that's great for them, but my question to you today is, how about you? How about you? How do you want God to work in your life this year? Let me put it to you like this. How do you want God to work in you and through you this year? Because you might look back and say, you know what? I don't know what God has done in me. I don't know what God has done through me. I've watched a lot of people take some incredible steps of faith. But in my own life, I haven't seen any real journey. I haven't seen real spiritual growth. I haven't seen myself hand over my life over to Christ like the ones I've seen before in the baptistry. Well, what are you waiting on? You know, I find that people have all kinds of plans for their life, right? Like, you might have financial plans. You might have job advancement plans. Some of you as parents, you have plans for your kids, and you have educational plans. But I don't think there's a lot of us that have spiritual plans. Like, we just kind of let those things kind of come to us as we journey through life. They're kind of like secondary. They're kind of like, you know, the side road to the highway that we're driving on. We don't give them a lot of attention. And so what are your plans spiritually? Like, what are you doing to grow in God this year? Have you thought about that? What are you doing to break free from some strongholds of sin that may be in your life so that you can truly live free in the freedom that Christ calls us to? Remember, Jesus calls us to living a fulfilled, full life, fullness of life. Are you feeling that? What are you doing this year so that you can find greater purpose in Christ and greater purpose in life? Hey, how have you planned this year to become a greater difference maker and use your influence in this community and in your household so that Christ is exalted so that others will be saved? I would bet to say, though I'm not trying to belittle you, you haven't thought much about it, have you? Hey, I don't think much about it all the time either. I kind of just accept what life gives me and kind of respond to life. Most of us are reactionary rather than taking action or intentional action. But let me tell you what Philippians 2 tells us through the mouthpiece of the Apostle Paul. It says, for God is working in you. Did you know that, believer? That God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So God is working in you so that he can work through you, and he's giving you the power. But here's the other word. He's given you the desire to compel you to do something that is of Christ Jesus. But here's the problem. I want to do some stuff that's Matt more than I want to do some stuff that's Jesus, and that's what gets in the way. And if you're looking back over 2023 and saying, you know, I saw a lot of people, I was firsthand witness to some people coming to the Lord and taking some gigantic steps of faith, but I didn't see it in my own life, why is that? If you're like me, the only real answer you can give is, I've stopped myself. I've stopped myself. And you know, Jesus sets it up to say, listen, the only real reason you have as to why you haven't denied yourself and taken up the cross and followed him is because of you. You've gotten in the way. I don't know, sometimes stubbornness just gets us in the way of coming closer to Christ and taking the next steps that we need. Maybe you saw a few weeks ago this video that went viral. It's of a pet owner who I suppose is taking his dog for a drag. In Central Park, so everybody's noticing, and it's just kind of a depressing video because, you know, dogs aren't supposed to drag, they're supposed to walk, and most dogs are eager to go for a walk, they're eager to take their next steps, but this one seems a little stubborn to take his next step. And so I wonder, how many of you have been stubborn just to take your next steps? And you just expected that maybe God would just drag you into the next spot of your faith, but that's not how God works. You see, he creates the desire within us. Isn't that what Philippians says? He creates the power within us to do something within us and do something outside of us. But only you can hold you back from what God wants to do in you and through you. Sometimes it's procrastination. Sometimes you just kind of put off your faith. Push things down the road a little bit. You hear about these great things to encourage your faith, grow your faith. And you just kind of think, well, you know what? Not today, but someday. You've heard this from me before, that Satan's favorite word is someday. There's a lot of you right now that you're thinking, you know, someday I'll get a part of a small group. Someday I'll really consider baptism and be baptized. Someday I'll get into Discover Bethany. I know we're supposed to do that, but someday I'll do it and I'll really become a part of the serving team around here. Someday I'll know God more deeply. Someday I'll live in freedom. Someday I'll find greater purpose. Someday. Satan wants you to believe that you got a someday. Satan wants you to keep procrastinating and say, that's what you need to do. Get deeper in your faith tomorrow. Get deeper in your faith someday. But God's favorite word is, do you know it? Today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you have to embrace through grace, through Christ. So turn your someday into today. And whatever you're pushing off to tomorrow, especially when it comes to your faith plans, make them happen today. And sometimes the reason why we don't allow God to do a good work in us and through us is just simply sometimes we hold on to sin and we won't let go of it. Sin's just got a hold of our life. It's called strongholds sometimes when we allow it to fester and continue. And though we don't want it to be there, we allow it to grow in strength, and that strength over time becomes stronger than the will of God in our life. Dwight L. Moody, who was a preacher of the past, had said, the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. And I would bet to say that if you look over the pattern of your life, and if you travel all the way back even into your youth, you'll find that the times when you were sinning the most is when you were living for Christ the least. That sin was on its height, and Christ was down below here somewhere, barely even recognized in your life. And listen, I understand that sin can be hard to let go of. The Bible calls it a stronghold. It means that it's strangling you and it's entangled you. It uses all kinds of verbs to describe what sin does in our life. And friends, let's just be honest around here, okay? If sin weren't any fun, none of us would get involved in it. The problem is that it's sweet in the beginning, isn't it? But it's bitter in the end. And yet we have an attraction to it, and it allures us into it, but it pulls us away from God, and by the time we recognize it, it's too late. We already found ourselves to be the prodigal, and we don't think that God will ever want us back home again. And sin, probably more than anything, probably more than our stubbornness, probably more than our procrastination, sin and the stronghold that it has on us is probably the very thing that keeps us from taking our next steps in our faith. You know, there's a story in the scriptures, and it's found in Luke chapter 5 about some men who Jesus called into ministry. And while they loved the man and they witnessed the miracles and they were amazed by it, they wanted more. They wanted what the Messiah, Jesus, had to offer them. And it was new and it was fresh. And even though these men were religious men, they had an interest to grow deeper in God And they found that through Christ Jesus. And I hope that's what you find today. So that your stubbornness, your procrastination, or your sin doesn't keep you from taking the needed next steps that God has planned for you, that he's provided for you to do good work in you and through you. Here's Luke 5, verse 1 through 11. We'll just read the entire story. It's one that you've probably heard before. It's called The Calling of Peter, James, and John. It says, while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Gennesaret, many people push to get near him. So there's a large crowd. He's a miracle worker. They want to see Jesus. He's attractional. They want to hear the word of God. Verse 2 now in Luke 5, Jesus saw two boats on the shore. The fishermen were not there because they were washing their nets, meaning they were done for the day, right? They've completed their day. They've gone out fishing all night. And so Jesus hops in the boat, and then he tells them, push it out a little way from land. And then he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat, using it kind of like a makeshift pulpit. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, that's Peter, push out in the deep water, let down your nets for fish. And Simon said to him, teacher, we've worked all night, and we have caught nothing. But because you told me, I will let down the net. I don't know, I've heard that line there of Peter, because you told me, I'll do it, as a line of faith, that Peter had this incredible faith in Jesus. I don't know if it's faith or just respect, but either one led Peter to say, I will trust you in this moment, even though I think I know better. Verse 6, when they had done this, they caught so many fish, their nets started to break. They called to their friends working in the other boat to come and help them. They came, and both boats were so full of fish, they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he got down at the feet of Jesus, and he said, go away from me. Go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man. He and all those with him were surprised and wondered about the many fish. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were surprised also. And they were working together with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for men. When they came to land with their boats, they left everything. And they followed Jesus. That's an incredible story, isn't it? And I'm not talking about the miracle of Jesus. I'm talking about the following of Jesus. They left everything. They clocked out and left it all behind just to rot on the seashore to follow after Jesus. That Jesus became more important than anything else in their world. And I don't think they expected that to happen that day. Do you? I think they were mesmerized by the Messiah. Beyond the miracles gave Jesus the authority, but they were interested in the man and the message and the man are the one that they wanted to follow. How about you? Is the message of Jesus and the man who is Jesus the one that you want to follow? They went from casually following to courageously following, to being consumers, to being contributors, from just saying, Jesus, I want you to be a savior. What can you do for me? To Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. What can I do for you? Friends, that's what I'm encouraging you today, to take some progressive step of faith and plan it out in 2024, not just to kind of say, well, I hope, hopefully it will come. Hopefully it will happen. Here, I want you to take a look at the screen here and check out what we call five levels of loyalty. We've used this before, but it's a helpful understanding to kind of maybe see where you're at in your progression of faith. There's what we call the crowd level. That is the come and see. It's attractional. Maybe you're just here at church today because you have always wanted to see what was taking place in this building, or you've just kind of followed the crowds in here. It doesn't mean much to you. You just kind of walk through the hour and a half or hour and 5 minute sermon and service, and you just take it in. Hopefully something attracts you here. Then there's the next one, congregational level. Maybe this is where you're at. You come and join us, and you find yourself in this place, and you're a part of it. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're still in the crowd level. I encourage you to get the congregational level. You've been kicking the tires here long enough, right? You've been a skeptic and you've been a doubter maybe, and now it's just finally time to say, hey, I'm going to take a deeper step here. Maybe for some of you, you need to get to the commitment level. That's come and grow. And you need to find yourself in a Discover Bethany when that's offered. It's like offered every, 3 weeks, 4 weeks around here, and those announcements are always made just to get deeper, to find a serving team and find yourself serving the Lord at Bethany so that others can be blessed. Maybe you want to get deeper to the core and you just want to come and serve and not just be a person who serves with time, but maybe it's time, talent, and your treasure. And you're just here to say, listen, I love the church and I love Christ. And I just want to be a part of the bride. But here's what Christ really calls all of us to. And this should be the place where we're walking towards, is this commissioned to come and die. See, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. It means that we find ourselves in a spot where we ultimately say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done within me. And I don't know where you found yourself on that chart there, but my hopes is that you make some intentional steps to get to that commission level where you come and die and say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. Just as Peter, James, and John did sporadically that day. And you know what? The first step to getting somewhere is just to simply decide today that you're not gonna stay where you are. That's the first step in this journey. The first step towards getting somewhere is just to simply say, I'm not gonna stay where I am anymore. And if you want to get there, you have to make that decision to say, this is not where I'm going to be. I'm not going to stay here any longer. And friends, that brings me back to the call of Peter, James, and John. They didn't want to stay where they were at any longer. They didn't want to be fishermen the rest of their life. Or at least they wanted something more, and they knew that God had something greater. And so when Jesus came and they had a personal encounter with him, they didn't wait for tomorrow. They didn't wait for someday. They took the advantage of that day today, and they took the steps of faith that were needed in that moment. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that your life's not going to get better by chance. Your life is only going to get better by change. And some of you right now, you're making some decisions in your life. You're hearing me talk. You're hearing all this about crowd, congregational, commitment, core, and commissioning stuff. And you're saying, yeah, I want to deny myself, and I want to live for God. I know that's what he wants for me, but I want that for me as well. This is why at Bethany we believe in the power of preaching, not in the power of the messenger, but the power of the message, because we recognize that the message of Jesus Christ is going to change lives. That right now, I recognize that in you right now, there's a stirring to say, I need to take some steps of faith. I need to grow in my faith. I don't want to continue being bogged down by my stubbornness or procrastination or my sin. I want to live for Jesus, and I truly want to deny myself and get to the place where I can leave everything behind and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. Hey, there was a moment in the very first gospel sermon where Peter, who took that step of faith in Luke 5, becomes a courageous man of faith in just 3.5 years' time, and he preaches his first sermon. That would scare some of you to death, wouldn't it? You've been a believer now for 3 years. It's time to preach. But Peter is given the Holy Spirit to have this unbelievable gospel message. And here it's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. And I just want to get you into the middle of the sermon, because when Peter preaches, he's speaking to a group a lot like us. A lot of people who already know God, who think that they're fine in life with the status that they're at in their faith, that they don't need to progress any further, that they're fine just kind of in their position, but they don't need to take any greater steps. And Peter encourages them to take greater steps. Look at Acts chapter 2, look at verse 22. Fellow Israelites, Peter says, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, meaning Jesus' crucifixion and sacrificial death were all part of God's plan. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Now listen, I'm not a great preacher, but I understand enough to know you don't belittle your congregation and try to get them to sway you to your side. And Peter says, listen, you killed Jesus. You all killed Jesus. In verse 24, though, he says, it really doesn't matter, though, because God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then it says he finishes his sermon. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it tells us, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? What do we do with this information? That Jesus is God's son, that he's come to rescue us and save us from our sin, to set us free, give us purpose, set us free so that we can have influence on others. What are we to do now? Just a side note. More than likely, this is a lot of the same crowd that was with Jesus 50 days earlier. 50 days earlier, when Pilate asked the question, with Jesus by his side, what shall I do with Jesus? And do you remember how the crowd of religious people responded to Pilate? What shall we do with Jesus? They chanted, crucify. Get rid of him. And now it's interesting that when they hear the good news about Jesus, they hear the totality of who he is, they respond, what should I do with Jesus? And they make it personal. What am I supposed to do, Peter, with this Jesus that you just told me about? And Peter tells them, here's what you're to do. Here's your steps. You don't remain stagnant. You move forward. Verse 38, repent. That means turn away from your sin, turn away from your past life, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's as if Peter is turning that one event of baptism into some other significant events of God's forgiveness and grace and God's placement of the Holy Spirit upon the believer at that time. And in verse 39, it says, this promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off. That's you and me. For all whom the Lord our God will call. And friends, just so you know, in a split second decision, though they didn't plan for it that day, just like Peter, James, and John, they didn't plan to deny themselves and follow Christ that day, but they did. In verse 41, it tells us that 3,000 people were baptized into Christ. And they said, we want more because we understand that God has more in store for us than we have for ourselves. And spontaneously, they gave their life to Jesus Christ. Though they didn't plan it, though they didn't predict it, though they didn't know it, God did something in them and they experienced Jesus in a new way and they said, I don't want what I have right now. I want something more. Hey, you've heard it said like this from this pulpit before. If all you want is what you got, you just keep doing what you're doing. But friend, if you want something different, you're gonna have to do something different. And God wants to progress you through faith. He wants to grow you in faith. And I know this crowd. This crowd's a lot like the crowd found in Acts 2. There's a lot of good and religious people that I'm speaking to today. If you were asked, you'd say, I love God. I know the God of the Bible. The people that crucified Jesus did too. And the people that Peter preached to did also. And they would go back and they would justify a lot of stuff, just like maybe you would justify. They'd go back and they'd say, listen, on the eighth day, my parents took me to the temple. They had me brought before the priest there, and I was dedicated just as the Bible tells us to be dedicated. And any baby boy who was a Hebrew would be circumcised, a mark to say, I now belong to God. Parents were making that expression of faith for their children to say, we want our kids to be raised in the faith. We want our kids to be raised to love God. And so most in that crowd were in that position. They could go back and say, listen, on the eighth day, I was dedicated, I've been circumcised, whatever it is, I've done enough, I've progressed. And now they're hearing God wants more for them, that God wants them to take another step. And here's the amazing part. They don't just settle and say, I'm good. They say, I want more too. What does Philippians 2:13 say? That God desires for us to do something in us and through us by his power at work. And they hear that, and they believe in God, and they're baptized, and they take that initial step of faith. Friends, baptism is not the finish line, it's the starting line. And maybe your feelings today are this. Your parents, at some point in your life, had you, dedicated towards the Lord. Like there was a ceremony at church, or maybe it was an infant baptism that you looked to and still have the certificate for. That dedication was very meaningful to them. And maybe even meaningful to you as you look back upon it, though you didn't really remember the experience of it. But God is calling you today to make a step of faith. And I don't know, maybe you go back just like the people of old in Acts 2, and you can go back and say, yeah, but you know, I went through confirmation. I was sprinkled. I was poured. I was christened. I've gone through this. I mean, Pastor, what you're saying now, I have done. Well, that's what your parents most likely have decided for you, and that was a good decision on their part. How about you confirm what your parents were wanting for you, and today you make faith your own, and you take the needed steps wherever that is. But more than likely, it's baptism. And you're not alone in that. You see, Jesus could have easily said, my parents had me baptized, or my parents had me dedicated on the eighth day, circumcised on the eighth day, and dedicated at the temple. All that was true. But as he began his ministry on earth, 30 years after those 8 days, he made his way 60 miles into the desert to be baptized by John the Baptist, not for the forgiveness of sins, but to set the example for you and me to start that ministry. And as he's baptized and lowered into the water by being immersed and rising up out of that water, God audibly speaks. Friends, for 400 years, he hasn't spoken. He's been silent. And yet in this one moment, God speaks out, and here's what he says. You remember what he says? This is my son. In him I am pleased. You know what that means? What he just did was right and good, and I am so overjoyed by it, I had to speak up. I couldn't stay silent anymore. And his sinlessness didn't lead him to that baptism. What led him to that baptistry was the example to show us this is where our faith begins. Do you know that moment in your life? Like, do you have that day? I know you have a wedding date, you got a birth date, you got, you know, your graduation date maybe, but what's the date that you gave your life to Jesus, that you did that and you made that personal decision? You see, salvation is God's form of grace to us, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn God's favor. Did you know that? There's a lot of us in this room, we have this misconception that we can just earn God's favor, we can just be good people, and we're fine, we're good, we're square. God and I are square. I'm good, we're square. Let me put it to you like this. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Some of you should be relieved right now. I should have heard a lot of this. I should have heard that. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. Oh, you can still be a good person, but you also need to be a forgiven person. You see, Christ has come to forgive us. And I know there's a lot of holdback on that. Some of you right now have a lot of excuses, stubbornness, procrastination. You got the someday syndrome going on right now rather than just saying today is the day of salvation. Some of you have just had the stronghold of sin. Like some of you right now are coming up with this excuse. You're saying, I've messed up too much for God to forgive me. You don't know the darkness of my heart, Matt. You don't understand. If you really knew, you'd know I can't forgive myself. People around me can't forgive me. There's no way God can forgive me. Can I give you a declaration of our Lord? He says in Romans 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I didn't see a clause in there. I didn't see an exclusion in there. He is emphatic in saying, call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Some of you are like, well, I don't know enough. Well, that's good, because when Jesus talks to a very religious man by the name of Nicodemus, who knows it all, he says, baptism is a new birth. It's like being born again. How much do infants know? They know nothing. And Jesus is saying, listen, you got to start in that place. It's called faith for a reason. Some of you right now are saying, yeah, well, come on. I'll put this off because I got to get my life in order. How's that been working out for you? You've been trying to get your life in order for how many years now, you know? I've heard people say, well, this year I'll get my life in order. Listen, you've been trying to do it by your willpower for too long. In Acts chapter 2, it says that God will give us his power, the Holy Spirit. How about you receive the Holy Spirit and say, God, do a good work in me. Do a good work through me. I'll give up, not my will, but yours be done. See, God's word tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new has come. I know there's a handful of you who might think that baptism is just connecting yourself to the church, and I don't need to do that. I don't want to be connected to the church. It's not. It's about being connected to Christ Jesus. And Jesus tells us that through the mouthpiece of the Apostle Paul in Romans 6. He says, when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ. You share in his death. You're sharing in Christ's death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead, and you're being brought up out of that water, by the wonderful power of the Father, we also can live a new life. And friends, the question for you today is this. Will you follow Jesus? Will you take a next step, not tomorrow, but today, in your spiritual journey? And if the answer is yes, what step do you need to take? What is that step that God has just called you to so that you can get out of the boat and leave it behind and follow Jesus? Will you pray with me? God, I pray for those today that are making decisions. I pray for those that right now are coming to conclusions. They know what you're calling them to do. Your spirit is taking root in their life. They're being shown the next step. Father, I pray that with your help and your leading, you remove their stubbornness or you remove their procrastination, or right now that you remove from them the entanglement of sin and the stronghold that has been upon them. And Father, in this moment, that they'll use this as a day of salvation and grace, and we'll make the needed steps that you're calling us to. And we won't be concerned about the crowd. We won't be concerned about the perception. We'll just be concerned about our relationship with you. In Christ's name, amen.